You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm going to give him the number, Della. He'll call. We tried. We'll call him.
Dana just who dissed John.
Who dissed? No, he didn't who diss me. Dell. But everybody does that.
It's not true.
I don't remember the number. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I got it. He's going to call us here. And we got Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HR&P, and brought to you by Chastang Ford. I had my Chastang hat on yesterday. And I'm driving around in my Expedition. They're gonna give me one of their F-150s or F-250. I mean, it's gonna be awesome. And I want the Bronco, but the Bronco now, that new Bronco, unbelievable.
I want this, and I want a Bronco.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want all this?
Well,
stuff?
Well, I get to drive for the weekend.
Yeah.
They're gonna let me have one for the weekend.
Does Frankie get to drive one for the weekend? Does Frankie get one to drive for the weekend?
No. No, unfortunately, Frankie probably gets my car when she's here, which is a disaster. That's not the best idea. Dana Holgorsen is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Chastank, brought to you by Damaris, and brought to you by HR&P. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We haven't talked to you in a while. What have you been doing?
It's been like Groundhog Day. Wake up, go to work, prepare for a game. Go to practice. Hopefully, we get a play, and then you find out at some point during the week that you're not going to play, and go home and spend a couple days watching football, and then do it all over again. You know, so our kids were—I give them credit—they're hanging in there. We're practicing. We're in shape. We're ready to play. They just look at me kind of funny when I say we're going to go practice because the plug's been pulled so many times this year, but. You know, I said, look, guys, I said, the end is near here. I mean, we're running out of Saturdays. You know, there's only a couple of them left, and I think we got a good football team. Everybody's forgot about us. Hopefully we get to go play a couple. This looks like this game at Memphis is going to happen Saturday, so we're going to line up and put our best foot forward and try to end 2020 with a few wins here.
I want to ask you, to that point, have you heard from any seniors, or is there any buzz about – because the big unknown for a lot of people is – how many of these seniors are going to take advantage of the free season, the ability to come back and play next year? And then as a coach, how difficult is that for you when sometimes you might want guys to just move on and get to the younger players or get to somebody that you think maybe has better upside?
Yeah, each kid is different. It's a different situation for each one of them. We've had those preliminary talks with everybody. Peyton Turner and Grant Stewart had both expressed interest in coming back because they were both just fourth-year seniors. I think that plays a lot into it, too, whether they're a fourth-year senior or a fifth-year senior. Heck, we even got one or two sixth-year seniors. But, that plays a little bit into it. When they got their senior bowl invite, they decided that they were going to go ahead and take advantage of that, which you would know more about that than I would probably. I don't know if that thing is going to go off or not. But nonetheless, still an honor to be invited to that game. Obviously, Marquez is going to that game as well. We congratulate all three of those guys. They've been great Houston Cougars for 4 and 5 years, and we wish them all the best in the world. With all the other guys, it's a case-by-case basis. There's, take two Katy local private products here, and Kyle Porter's getting his MBA in business here in December, and so he's like, yeah, it's been real. I'm going to move on. And he's a fifth-year guy. And Giovanni Stewart came in as a fifth-year senior. He's like, well, I'm going to play another year and get my master's degree. You can't get it in 1 year, so you might as well take advantage of that and play another year and get your master's degree. There's guys that just say, you know what, it's been fun, but I'm going to go about my business and others that are like, man, I don't know what I would do with myself without football, so I'm going to come back. At the end of the day, we kind of control that. If they've exhausted their eligibility and graduated, then we've kind of done our job. We don't have to give them that extra year if we don't want to. But it's usually a mutual agreed upon decision.
Oh, so that's not a player's decision. That's still a team decision.
Well, it's correct. It can be both. It can be both, honestly. If a guy wanted to fight it, they could probably fight it. I haven't, in the 20-some guys that I've got on my team that have that opportunity, it'd be a rare deal where we just don't want them to come back because those numbers don't count against you, So just because they're on your roster doesn't mean that you got to play them. I mean, if you got a young kid that's better, that's coming into his own as a third-year guy or something like that, and this guy's a sixth-year guy and he's just been passed up, well, that's just kind of life. I mean, that, if you want to come back and compete, and there's no guarantee you're going to win the starting job, but those numbers don't count against you, so I couldn't see any reason, unless there's an attitude deal where, you just can't tell those guys to move on, even if they're a freshman, you're going to tell those kind of guys to move on. Wait, so
it's a student athlete.
You get all your underclass when you're at 85. You got 10 more seniors that want to come back. Now next year's totals are at 95.
And why would you not, if you're somebody who knows you're not an NFL player and you want to get ready for life after football, it almost doesn't make any sense not to take advantage of the opportunity to go to post-grad at your school and get other classes taken, get for free under scholarship.
Yep.
Well, unless you're a guy like Gio Pancotti, local product from Episcopal, or Kyle Porter, I mean, those guys came in as fourth-year grad students.
Right.
So they're both going to have their master's degree. The internal clock is saying it's time to go make money and go get out in the business world, So every case is different. We talk to each and every one of them, and whatever is agreed upon is going to be pretty cordial.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. I mean, it's hindsight, but Dana, we were just talking about it. Man, if everybody would have gone into, if all the conferences, look at Ohio State is sitting there now this week. If we would have had flexible schedules, I mean, you had a chance to still, I mean, you should have had a chance to get another win and possibly play in your conference championship game. But they had rigid scheduling. It's difficult because nobody had a playbook, a game plan for this, or the playbook for it. But man, if we would have had some flexible scheduling in all of these conferences, then we could have had a lot of these problems solved, including Ohio State and you guys.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had done that internally. When these schedules came out in June, I was on a call with the commissioner of the American and the head coaches, and I'm like, this looks pretty simple to me. We have 11 conference opponents. I don't know why we wouldn't just each play each other 10 opponents and, build in a couple weeks at the back end. I mean, that even if one team's played like 8 games and one team's played 9 games, you're probably going to have enough information to figure out, who's going to be in the conference championship game, because that's the only thing in 2020 that's going to really, at the end of the day, matter is who won the conference and, who got into the CFP and who got into the New Year's Six bowl games. But, he said, the commissioner said, just go ahead. We want you to play all your non-conference games. I go, so you want us to play 12 games and build in no flexible dates at the end? He's like, well, we got to take care of BYU and Army and Notre Dame and Texas and all those guys. I was like, well, I didn't know they were in our conference, but that's whatever. And so, and then game three, which was really our game one, Memphis got scheduled, and they automatically rescheduled that game for December 5th. And me and Pez looked at each other and said, this is going to be a real problem because there's going to be games canceled, and if we don't have room at the back end, we're not going to get our allotted games in, which is exactly what happened. And so it was poorly managed, in my opinion. Other conferences were like the Big 12 and the ACC just automatically started rescheduling games. And if that inconvenience was any conference opponent, well, in my opinion, they just need to get over it. As long as it's not a competitive disadvantage, they need to get over it and play the games that the commissioner puts in front of them. Unfortunately, we didn't do that. Good news, we got a chance to go play at Memphis, finish in sole third place. If we win, which I think our guys want to go play and they want to go win, then we will finish in sole third place in our conference. And, that's improvement from last year. I think we would have beat Tulsa, my personal opinion. If we would have had enough games and we would have played them, we would have beat them. if they would have had to play against Cincinnati, a game that was happening. You know, again, that's another one. That thing was scheduled to be played 6 weeks ago. Cincinnati COVID-ed out. They rescheduled it for December 12th, and then Cincinnati COVID-ed out again. I find that kind of ironic. And then they get to play at home against Tulsa for the conference championship. We could have got to 5-2. I think Tulsa probably would have had about the same schedule, we would have ended up going back to Cincinnati. We had our shot there, though. Cincinnati's a really good football team. We had our shot. We didn't take advantage of it. It played out, unfortunate for the Cougars, but we go win at Memphis and finish third, and it'd be an improvement from last year.
So you don't think you're going to have anything for the 19th? Is this it?
No, we're trying hard to schedule. I've got a couple of teams right now. I don't want to mention anybody. But we got a couple of teams that we have approached about coming to Houston, and there's some interest there. Rice still owes us a game. I wish they'd play us. They're coming on. They should want to play. They just came off with a heck of a win at the Marshall last week. But we play that. You know, we've called Baylor. They still need a non-conference game. I haven't heard back from them. Kind of funny. But we're reaching out. I'd like to play in the 19th, just because it's an available Saturday. You know, if you're not in your conference championship, that's a available Saturday. We're healthy and we're ready to play. So I'd like to kind of get our kids into a position where they get to play a couple of games, even though they've been disappointed so many times this year.
You know, you got this a month. You've had just a month now that you guys haven't been able to play. You got a month before the season. It's in August, and you guys get ready for a season. Do you feel like this was a second camp? And how ready do you think they are after sitting all this time?
Oh, I think we've been good. I think we've approached it the right way from a coaching staff and strength and conditioning. Last time we played against South Florida, we were without about 12 guys, and I think we got 10 of those guys back. So probably the healthiest we've been. There's about eight guys that have traveled this year that aren't going to be able to travel because we're capped at 70. We're healthy. We're ready to go. We're fresh. We're not wore out. We didn't sit there and beat them up for a month. We did enough to where we could stay in shape. It does kind of feel like the beginning of the year. Where I hope the speed of the game doesn't get us early, which it did against Tulane, but we have played six games, and we are pretty experienced. So, you know, I don't see as much pop in practice just because they're tired of practicing and it's the middle of December, which is normal. So it's kind of like that, and it also reminds me a lot of going and playing in a bowl game. You know, you get about a month play over at the end of the year, and kind of try to manage it to your best ability. You don't know what to expect going into a bowl game, and then when you get there, you kind of settle in and play. So, you know, I think we'll be fine. I think we're ready to go.
I finished looking at Peyton Turner and Grant Stewart. I wrote them up, but what Peyton Turner is a really, really interesting guy. Just rare size and athletic ability as a 4-3 end. At first, I thought I was just going to see him as a 3-4. You know, a 5 technique. You kind of look at that size and the length and his frame. But then when you watch him, he's athletic. Like, he's a real 4-3 end. He can come off the edge. When he really starts, and he is a strong guy who you get the sense he's just figuring out how strong he is. And it was interesting watching what he did to Tulane and then facing a stronger player at BYU at tackle. And then, you know, you kind of see him as the game goes on, kind of adjust his way of playing. But I think he is going to be a guy who really splashes in the NFL because he's really starting to show that he's kind of narrow the way he plays, a narrow base. He gets knocked off balance. He's a little upright. That's the same way Chris Jones played coming out of Mississippi State, and he hadn't had any problems. So I think you got a really good one right there. I've been really impressed, and I know everyone who's watched the program have raved about Peyton Turner this year, and I see why.
Yeah, he's really proud of. Really came into his own. He's decided to move on, and you know, he's out there practicing his tail off yesterday. You know, unfortunately, he played in the first three games, didn't play in the next three. Would have been nice to have him against you know, UCF and Central Florida and Cincinnati and all that. But yeah, it's part of the game, and you know, he's been pretty calculated with the whole process. He's an incredibly smart young man. He's got his degree in three and a half years. you know, he's a local product here out of Westside, I believe. Grew up playing baseball, you know, then he switched to basketball, was a pretty good basketball player, and then said, if I'm going to do this, I guess it's going to have to be football. So made the switch and at the right time, but developed a lot throughout the course of his career here at Houston. Was a skinny kid coming in, you know, weighs 260, 265 right now, I believe, and has toughness to him too, intelligence and toughness. You know, with the body type, the frame, and the athleticism to go about it as well. I think Peyton's going to play for a long time. You know, and that's kind of what his final decision was. Is you know, if I'm not a first round draft pick right now, then let me get into the league and work towards that second contract. Which, you know as well as I do, if you're not a first rounder, you need that second contract to make that real money. He's just an intelligent kid like that, and so he calculated things out and came up the decision. He's like, I would have been more than happy to come back and continue to build the program, but it's just probably in my best interest to go. And I can't disagree with that. He's got his degree. He's played well. Hopefully we get about 6 more sacks out of him here in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll wish him well after that.
Well, we'll wish you well. Congratulations on actually having a game. It's had to be brutal over this last few weeks. I know it's been brutal for you. That this has sucked. So get to get out there. You guys get to compete, and it's going to be we'll be watching on Saturday. Go kick some Memphis ass. We appreciate it, Dana. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll let you go.
I appreciate it. At the end of the day, it ain't anything anybody else isn't dealing with, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is, and our kids understand that too. That's why they've been staying in a good place, and we certainly hope to get to Memphis and come back with the win.
Good deal. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Coach.
Dana Holgerson Thanks, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HRP, and brought to you by Chastang Ford. Loves all those guys. Mike Holly, Big Coug.